Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the time to gather together to worship, to hear your word preached, to honor and glorify you. Father, we pray that everything that's said and done would be honoring to you and would be in accordance with your word. And we thank you for just the time we have to share together. In Jesus' name, amen. And Jonathan, can you cut the background music? Thanks. So I mentioned the last time, or in the previous times, that I did this prayer devotional for the fifth Sunday, that I'd like to do a series of messages on the subject of prayer is. And last time, if you'll remember, I spoke on the subject that prayer is appropriate. And we learned at that time that prayer is right, that prayer is good. I've got a problem here. I am on the wrong message. Well, I'm going to have to just give that one up. So that was the previous time. So last time we covered that love, or that prayer is a gift, and we looked at the various aspects of the gift of prayer and what it means to us as we strive in our lives to live it in a godly fashion. Previous to that, we did cover the prayer is appropriate and learned what it is to have prayer as a priority and a place of precedence in our lives. So today, what I'd like to do is have us consider the fact that prayer is beneficial. So the benefits of prayer are many, and I won't be able to touch on all of them by any means in the time that we have this morning. But consider, for example, that prayer is a means to request resources in a time of need. That prayer is a means to access the provision, support, and encouragement of God. That prayer is a means to come before the very mercy seat. That prayer is a means to find joy and peace in Him. Prayer is a means of building and strengthening our faith in Him. Prayer is a means of seeking forgiveness. Prayer is a means of finding hope and guidance. Prayer is a means of obtaining comfort. So we're going to take a look at just a few of these today. And what I thought is that as we consider the benefits of prayer, I'd like to just look at a number of scriptures. And I wanted to do kind of a high-speed run through some passages that are either our prayers in the Bible or they reference prayer, and review some of the benefits that we find detailed in those scriptures. So given the large number of verses that I'm going to go through today and the limited time, I'm not going to ask you to turn in your Bibles with me to every one of these passages, but I will ask Madison to keep up with me and put them on the screen for me. Thanks, Madison. So I've been meeting recently on Wednesdays with Tyler and a group of young men, and we started going through some of Warren Wiersbe's Bible commentaries, and each of those start with a B something. And we've studied Be Ready, which is the one that covers 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and we've just started looking at Be Mature, which is his commentary on the book of James. And I, this morning, have shamelessly borrowed this format, and I'd like to label each one of the specifics of prayer, the benefits of prayer this morning that I'd like us to consider, beginning with B. So the first is be empowered. From Mark 9:28-29, we read, "When he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately, 'Why could we not drive it out?' And he said to them, 'This kind cannot come out by anything but prayer.'" So as Christians, the work that we've been given to do is beyond our capabilities, whether it's ministering to one another, casting out demons, our efforts on behalf of our Savior in order to be successful require prayer on our part. We don't have the strength, and we don't have the wisdom, the stamina, or the ability to accomplish what God has given us to do in his ministry. We must call on God's power. We must ask him for his strength and request his wisdom and might to be able to do all that he's asked us to do. We are weak and broken vessels, and we're called on God to accomplish mighty deeds of righteousness. But it's only through prayer, by his equipping of us, that we can perform the duties he's given us to do. Trying to fulfill the calling of God in our own power is a recipe for failure. Everything that we do should be bathed in prayer. So prayer is a means for us to be empowered. The next B is be fruitful. And from 1 Corinthians 14, 13 and 15, 13 to 15, we read, "Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also." Prayer is a means for us to ask God to make us fruitful. We can be very busy, and we can be working very hard, but if what we're doing isn't bearing fruit, it's wasted effort. Prayer is our means to ask for whatever it is that we may need to assure that our labors are not in vain. Speaking in tongues might be amazing, but if the message isn't understood, what good is it? In our everyday lives, there are many things, perhaps even good things, that we can be doing. But if they're not accomplishing God's purposes, then they are of no value. We should be praying that everything that we do would be fruitful. Next, let us consider that prayer is a means to help us to be faithful. Matthew 26, 40 to 41. "And he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping, and said to Peter, 'So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Prayer is a means of fighting temptation, or perhaps to avoid it altogether. We must pray to our Father to keep us from falling, to keep us from giving in to the siren call of sin. The very act of praying turns our attention from our circumstances toward God. He is the one who can deliver us from temptation. We also know that God is faithful to not allow us to be tempted beyond what we are able, but provides a way of escape. Prayer is a means to lay hold of this promise and call upon our God to help us in our weakness. Let us pray that we might be faithful. Another benefit of prayer is that we might be enlightened. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe." Prayer is a means for us to have our eyes opened, to ask God for understanding and enlightenment. Prayer is one way we can come to know God better, as we ask him to help us understand his word. We come to him to ask for clarity of mind and thought as we delve into the scriptures and seek to find truth and understanding. We offer prayer before our messages here for this very purpose, that God would open eyes to see and ears to hear, and that we would understand the instruction of his word and come to know him more deeply. So let us pray that we might be enlightened. Next, prayer is a means for us to be at peace. From Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, very familiar verses, "Be anxious for nothing, but at everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is a means for us to find true and enduring peace. When our hearts are troubled, when the circumstances of life weigh heavy upon us, when the road that we're traveling is difficult, frustrating, or painful, when we're not sure what to do, when we're consumed by worry or fear, we should put our anxiety aside and go to our loving Lord in prayer, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let us pray that we might be at peace. Next, prayer is a means that we might be victorious. From Colossians 1:9-12, we read this. For this reason also, since the day that we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Paul here has detailed for us such an inspiring list of things that he and those with him were petitioning the Lord on behalf of the Colossian believers. And I can't help but point out that each of us should be diligently praying for these things for ourselves and for others, for each other around us as well. This is a prayer for maturity, growth, and attainment of everything our redeemed souls long for. We should pray to be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to be able to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to be able to please him in all respects, to bear fruit, to increase in the knowledge of God, to be strengthened with all power, to obtain steadfastness and patience. I think I might probably have to do a full devotion just on these verses sometime for one of these fifth Sundays. There's just so much here. Imagine if all of us were blessed with the fullness of all that's written in these verses. So let us be praying that we might be victorious. Next, prayer is a means that we might be successful. Colossians 4, verses 2-4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to speak. So I've already stated before, and we all understand that we can't accomplish the spiritual work that we've been given in our own power and our own strength. We're merely vessels to be used by him to perform his will. In order for our service to be successful, everything that we do must be bathed in prayer. If he is not the source of power for the work, if he is not leading, guiding, and directing, we will not prevail. We should always be praying for the benefit of his providence in preparing a pathway for us, aligning every circumstance, and giving grace and the ability to perform the tasks that he's given us to do. So let us be praying that we might be successful. Next, let us consider that prayer is a means by which we might be content. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And I thought of including this material or this subject under the section of Be at Peace. There's definitely parallels between this, but I really feel that this deserves its own coverage. How blessed is it to be able to lead a quiet and tranquil life? We're called to be content in whatever circumstances that our Lord has placed us. We're sojourners here, and we're to find our happiness and fulfillment in Him, not to be concerned with our situation and our circumstances. But given our nature, it's much easier for us to be content if our circumstances are pleasant and delightful, wouldn't you agree? Here we are instructed to be praying for our leaders, for those in authority over us, with the expected benefit that we might live quietly, peacefully, and with dignity, that we might live in godliness without fear or worry. So let us be praying that we might be content. Also through prayer, we can be healed. James 5, verse 16, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." Now we often hear this verse quoted, but generally only that second half. We tend to overlook the fact that this promise is made in the context of being healed. We are exhorted to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another that we may be healed. Certainly the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much in every way for any purpose, but here we're specifically reminded that confession and prayer are effective for healing. Each of us here, either ourselves or our friends or family, we either ourselves do or know someone who have physical maladies or emotional and psychological troubles who are in need of healing. And it's true at times that we understand that the Lord brings these things into our lives for a reason, for our good, for our growth in grace and faith and our spiritual maturity. And for His own sovereign reasons, He doesn't always choose to heal immediately or sometimes even at all. Illness and infirmity are never pleasant, but as Christians, we know that what we endure in this life is beneficial for our eternal good, and these things are allowed by Him in love. Even so, we see here in this verse that we should be praying. This verse assures us that confession of sin and prayer is a resource to us in our illness. The Lord honors the effective prayer of the righteous in praying. Please notice also that it is a prayer for one another. We see His hand answering prayer, and He is glorified when He does. We each have an obligation to be praying for those around us, our brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering. We have the promise given to us in the Scriptures that such effort is not wasted and is not fruitless. And if you look at the prayer sheet that we have, that we'll be going through here in just a little while, you'll see a number of requests on there that involve healing or medical issues that we should be praying for. And I'm certain there's many more needs among us than what's written on the prayer sheet that we don't necessarily know about. This is a critical component of our ministry to one another. So let us be praying that we might be healed. I have a number of additional B's to cover, but I think those are going to have to wait until our next prayer emphasis Sunday. I'm running out of time. So today, we've covered a number of the benefits of prayer. And I suppose we could probably spend a lifetime studying the benefits of prayer and never exhaust the depths of it. Today, We've considered that prayer is a means for us to be empowered, to be fruitful, to be enlightened, to be at peace, to be victorious, to be successful, to be content, to be healed. We should always be eager to avail ourselves of these benefits. God has blessed us in more ways than we can fathom, and prayer is very high on that list of the blessings that He's bestowed on us. The benefits are truly wonderful, and we should be enthusiastic and avid in our prayers. It's time well spent, an effort that is truly rewarded. We have the opportunity now to come before the throne of grace and to seize those benefits and to take hold of this precious resource and to pray. Pray for our country, pray for the missionaries we support, pray for each other, pray for this church. So let me pray now, and we'll go to Him in a season of prayer. Father in heaven, how we do rejoice in this blessed gift that You've given and the benefits that You bestow as we come to You in prayer. And we thank You that it is by Your Son, Jesus Christ, His work on the cross that opened the way to the very mercy seat, that we in Him might be able to come boldly to lift up our voices to You in prayer, to lift up our voices to You in adoration and praise. Help us to be faithfully praying. You have given us this wonderful resource by which we can call on our faithful and sure help, by which we can call on our Savior and our Redeemer. And we pray that You would help us to be empowered, to be fruitful, to be enlightened, at peace, victorious, successful, content. And Lord, we pray for healing as well for those that are in physical need. And we thank You for all these things in Christ's name. Amen.